It's just been a blessing. If I were to ask you, and there was a reason we didn't have someone read the scripture this morning, if I were to ask those of you who are familiar with your Bible to take your Bible and turn to the parable of two sons, where would you turn? I think most people would probably turn to Luke 15, right? I mean, we know of that parable in Luke 15. We call it the parable of the prodigal son, but it's really not. It's the parable of a father who had two sons. One was a prodigal, and of course, one was the elder brother who stayed at home. But today I want to talk to you about a subject about two other sons that Jesus spoke about. And they're found in Matthew chapter number 21. And so if you would turn to Matthew chapter 21, we'll talk about a subject that is not spoken of much in our churches anymore. It certainly was a subject in years gone by that was spoken of often because of the importance of the subject. This being Children's Sunday, there's a couple of things that I'd like to point out. First of all, I want you to notice that in verse number 28 of Matthew chapter number 21, Jesus said, "But what think ye?" And he said, "A certain man had two sons." And so he wants to tell us a story about two boys and how they responded to the father's command. And when you first hear it, you think, well, you know what? The one he done right. But as Jesus fills in the blanks and tells the remainder of the story, you find out that not everybody that says does. And God's looking for people who do and say, not just do. There's a lot of people who say but do not do. And that's where our word is going to come in. The Bible places a great emphasis on repentance. And we don't hear that word a lot in our day. We hear a lot about the love of God, and I'm glad that God does love us. And we're going to talk about the love of God today. We hear a lot about the mercy of God, and I'm thankful for the mercy of God, aren't you? And I'm thankful for the grace of God and all the characteristics and the attributes of God I'm very grateful for. But something happens in this section of Scripture where Jesus felt compelled to talk about the subject of repentance. And so it being Children's Sunday, I want to address the children about this word. It's a word that you need to get very familiar with, because I'm going to tell you something. Irregardless of what you think or what someone has told you, if you do not exercise this word, you will not go to heaven. If you do not repent, you will perish. So, well, I go to church. That's not what gets you to heaven. Well, my parents are Christians. That's not what gets you to heaven. I own a Bible. That's not what gets you to heaven. I believe in God. That's not what gets you to heaven. See, we could go right on down the line. But until you repent, you will never go to heaven. Now, I'm convinced in my heart that there's a lot of parents that haven't taught their children the teaching of repentance. And I'm basing that on what I've seen through some 35 plus years of ministry, where a lot of young people make a profession and then they just continue to live with no desire whatsoever to live for God. There's no joy in their life. There's no fruit in their life. There's nothing that says in their life, "I am a Christian." The only thing that says it is their lips, but their lives do not say it. Perhaps there's somebody here today that's your lot in life. I don't know, because I do not know what's in your heart, you see. I do know that I was taught when I was drawn to Christ that I must repent. And I was shown from the Bible that repentance was necessary to salvation. It was necessary to salvation before I came to Christ. It was necessary to salvation when I came to Christ. And it is necessary to salvation as we sit here today. Because God's way to the kingdom does not change. And so I want to just take it very slow and really lay it out very simple as God has in His Word today. Repentance. What do you know about repentance? Before we stand and read this little brief parable and I give you a little background and then talk to you about repentance and what you can do to exercise it if you have not, and how you can be thankful that God has taught you to exercise it if you have. I want to say this about repentance, just two brief but very needful statements. Some people read far too little into repentance. You know, they just think, well, you know, you just repent, and they kind of chomp their gum and say, yeah, you know, well, you know, I think I'm just going to do better. And I just don't like the way things are going in life, and I think I'm just going to change. And so that's kind of their view on repentance. That is not biblical repentance. Some people, we read way too much into it. You know, we see people who believe in work salvation. I mean, these folks are crawling through the streets, brethren, on their knees. Their knees are just bloody, and they're doing all manner of things as far as bringing punishment to their body, thinking that that is a show of repentance. Can I tell you, that's reading just a little too much in repentance. Somewhere in the middle of this nonchalant, carefree attitude of repentance and this over-exaggerated, horrifying view of repentance, God has a biblical teaching of what repentance is, and I want to show it to you from the Bible so that if you have not exercised it, you can. And if you have exercised it, you can be thankful to God that you knew that it takes repentance to get to heaven. You say, well, God's love will get me to heaven. It will not. You'll never read that anywhere in the Bible. God's grace will get me to heaven. You'll never read that anywhere in the Bible. You see, every characteristic that God has, every attribute that God has, stands alone until you repent and receive it. See, the blood of Jesus has been shed. That's done. It's over. Amen. I'm glad that Jesus gave his life, aren't you? Amen. The blood of Jesus has been shed. But only through repentance will there be an application of that blood. God will not, listen to me carefully now, God will not apply his blood to an unrepentant heart. It's very important to understand that. Very important. And so I want to just really take our time. Would you stand to your feet with me? If you do not have a Bible, if you have never asked a neighbor in your life, could I look on with you, I pray today you would do that. I'm talking to somebody today. I'm just as sure that I'm preaching the message that God told me to as I am. I'm standing here today. God said, preach the message of repentance. I ask God what he wants me to preach. Sometimes I get a very clear answer. Sometimes I don't get a very clear answer. Sometimes I say, you know, I hope I'm preaching it, God. I think I know what you want me to preach. And then there's times where I say, God, I know you want me to preach this. This is one of those times. So there's someone, whether you're here today or you're listening by way of live stream, there's someone here today that needs to get this matter of repentance settled. I'm not saying that you haven't repented. You just need to get it settled. See, a lot of people doubt they're saved, they're going to heaven because they haven't understood repentance. And so I just want to help you today. God knows my heart. I want to help you today. All right, let's look in Matthew chapter number 21. We'll begin our reading in verse number 28 and read down through verse number 32. Matthew chapter 21, verse 28 through verse number 32. But what think you? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whither of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would use the message today to open understanding to your word. And for that person who is here that needs to get a grip on the teaching of repentance, that they could have it settled in their heart that they're bound for the kingdom, I pray that you would help them to be attentive to every word that comes from the mouth of your servant today. And I pray that you would help them to be attentive to every work of your Holy Spirit today. For that person that is listening, that has never repented, they only possess an empty profession, nothing real in their life, no conversion, because there's never been an answer to conviction through repentance of sin. Help them today, I pray. Draw them to yourself. And God, I pray they would come and repent that they might be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. Well, let's see what prompted our Lord Jesus to discuss this very and all-important subject of repentance. If you go back just a little bit, you'll find where Jesus, and I'm going to bring you to a point here, where Jesus is confronted by religious people, by good people. When I say good people, I mean they're religious people. They're not down and outers. They're not living in the gutters. They're not on alcohol or drugs. They're just religious people, but yet their hearts are empty. They're full of hatred. They've never repented. They're full of pride in their life. They will not admit that God is right and they are wrong. And so when they watch Jesus through a series of actions, they're so angry in their heart that they bust up into a place where Jesus is teaching, and they ask him this question in verse number 23. They say, and when the people had come, are you with me? Matthew 21, verse 23. When they had come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, I mean, just came in and interrupted the service and said, we've got to know something. Who do you think you are? Now, you have to remember, if you'll go back and you'll look, he has healed the sick. He has healed the lame. He has overturned the tables of the money changers in the temple and scourged them and run them out. He has taught them things that they have never heard before. They had never heard anyone teach with the authority that Jesus Christ was teaching them. So he had come riding into Jerusalem, and they were crying out, Hosanna! Hosanna to the Lord! And so the scribes and Pharisees were really upset. And so in essence, what they're asking here, if you'll look in verse number 23, they said unto him, by what authority dost thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are to tell me what to do? Who do you think you are to think that you could have a say-so in my life? Now you see, this is an evidence that repentance is needful. When a man gets to a place in his life, when an individual gets to a place in their life to where they really feel, I don't owe God an explanation. I'm not accountable to God. God doesn't tell me what to do. I do what I want, when I want, how I want, and God has no say in it. Jesus said, I'll tell you what your need is. Your need is repentance. Oh, you know the law. These were chief priests and scribes. These were Pharisees. These were religious people. You know what the truth says. Some of you can quote it. You know what is expected of you. But you have no desire in your heart whatsoever to carry it out. As a matter of fact, you've become rebellious against it. You've justified it and said, well, you know, there's really nothing wrong with the way I approach this. There's nothing wrong with the way I go about this. Who is he to tell me what to do? Who are they to tell me what to do? I refuse to live by a set of rules. I refuse to do what they say and how they say it. They're not going to cast me in their mold. Isn't that what pride and arrogance does? Sure it does. And our country, our world is full of it. Full of it. And it can happen to any of us. And so Jesus said, I want to tell you some stories. Now, the Bible calls these parables. Parables are earthly truths and examples to tell heavenly teachings or doctrine. And so he said, I want to give you three little parables. And he gives them. The first one deals with God the Father. The second one, in verse number 33, he said, of chapter 21, hear another parable. And if you look down, you'll see in verse number 39 of chapter 23, they caught him and cast him into the vineyard and slew him. That's talking about the husbandman's son. So he told a parable about God the Father. He said a certain man had two sons. We're going to look at that one. And then he told a parable about God the Son. And then over in chapter 22, he gives a parable about God the Holy Spirit. And he said, your problem is that you are not submissive. You haven't realized that God is right and you're not. That God has a plan, and his plan is better than your plan. See, most people live their life that nobody knows better for my life than me. Just stay out of my life, they say. Just leave us alone. Just let me do what I want to do. Of course, their way's not working, and it's very obvious, but they still want to do it their way. So that's the backdrop of what's being taught here, all right? So now we come, and let's just get right into this. It's very interesting that when these individuals came to Jesus in verse number 23, and they said, by what authority, you see that? By what authority didst thou do these things? And who gave thee this authority? Jesus said in verse number 24, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I and likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did ye not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Now, what is Jesus teaching here? I don't need to repent. You do. I don't owe you an explanation. I'm not accountable to you. You're accountable to me. I don't like that, preacher. That's because you've never repented. That's because there's pride and arrogancy in your heart, you see. When we don't like God telling us what to do in his word, that's a foul spirit, brethren. That's wrong. And I'm here to tell you, you'll never have any peace in your life until you come to terms that God has a say-so in your heart. That God has a right to tell you what to do, how to do it, when to do it. Amen? Are you there yet? Are you okay with God telling you what to do? Are you? Are you okay with the preacher standing up and saying, thou shalt not, and thou shalt? Are you all right with that? I'm not okay with that at all. You need to hear the message today on repentance so that your heart can be tender and soft and molded by the sweet Holy Spirit of God. It's very important. See, I'm just convinced there's a lot of people that think they're going to heaven, but they're going to hell. And it's because they do not know about the doctrine of repentance. What is repentance? If I were to ask you one by one on the way out the door, I said no more today, and I closed this in prayer, and I stood there at the door, and I asked you, what did you do when you repented? How did you repent? What happened when you repented? Would you be able to tell me? Would you? Now, if I were to ask you about the love of God, I believe most people could tell me. I hope most people can tell me about repentance. But I'm telling you, brethren, we just haven't heard enough teaching on repentance. Because we have been made to think that I can go to heaven by the grace of God alone. Well, now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's God's side of it. But you've got to repent. You must repent. Right? Luke 13:3, write it down. Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Now, I'm going to take some time because I think it's important. And I want to just show you the biblical emphasis that God places on repentance. Take your Bible, and I just want you to turn with me. We'll just look at these. I want you to look at them. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 3. Would you turn there? Matthew chapter number 3, and let's just see. Matthew chapter 3, we find a man who was the forerunner of Jesus. What do you know about this man? Have you turned there in your Bible yet? You say, I'm not going to turn there in my Bible. You need to repent. See, I'm talking about a stiff-neckedness. I'm talking about a people that bow up and say, nobody going to tell me what to do. I'm telling you something now. You better listen to me this morning. You're headed for some hard days, hard times. I mean hard. God will break you, my friend. God won't break me. He's broke many before he broke you. Amen. Now listen to me. God loves you. But if you think God's going to make a special exception for you, you've mistook what the Bible teaches. If you think you're going to bow up in the face of God and it's going to work out for you, it's not going to work out for you. So if you have a Bible, I'm asking you for your good to turn and see what God said about it. Not for my good. I've read these scriptures. I want you to read them. So you'll know this is what God is saying and not some man up here just telling you something that he thinks God said. Matthew chapter 3, look at verse number 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, what's our word there? Repent ye. Repent ye. What was John the Baptist preaching? Repentance. Repent ye, he said. Look at it. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, John the Baptist said. Turn, if you would, just for a moment to Mark. Mark chapter number 1, if you would. You say, well, that was John, preacher. That was John the Baptist preaching. What about Jesus? Mark chapter number 1. Turn there, if you would. In Mark chapter number 1, look at verse number 15. If you go back to verse 14, you'll find that after that John was put into prison, Jesus, in verse number 14, came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, and this is Jesus speaking, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. What's that word there? Repent. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Say, I believe the gospel. Do you repent? I believe the gospel. Did you repent? I believe what God said. Did you repent? Did God break you down? Did God make you sorrowful? Did you tell God, I'm sorry for my sin? Did you tell God, God, I'm sorry. You're right. I'm wrong. God, I'm sorry. Did you repent? You see, it's important. You can't just come rolling up into church one day and say, I believe the gospel. And then somebody say, well, amen. Oh, Johnny's saved. Johnny ain't saved if Johnny didn't repent. Listen to me. Hear me today. Repentance. Repentance. It is absolutely necessary to get to heaven. Amen. Amen. John the Baptist preached it. Jesus preached it. Turn, if you would, over into chapter number, Mark chapter number 6 just for a moment. Mark chapter number 6, Jesus is getting ready to send the disciples out. Two by two. And he lined them up and he said, I want you to go out. Look at verse number 12. And as the disciples went out, in verse number 12, they went out and preached that men should what? Repent. Repent. See, somehow we've skipped over this all-important ingredient that God said, if you want to get to heaven, you cannot bypass this. You can't go to heaven a proud sinner. Hear me now. You must be a humbled sinner saved in the grace of God. The reason that many won't come to Christ even today is because they say, I'm not going to do what they say. I'm not going to do what that church says. I'm not going to do what that Bible says. I'm not going to answer to God. I'm not going to answer anyone. One day, listen, you're going to answer to God whether you do it here or there. Right. Hear me now. You say, oh, now, preacher, you sound like you're getting a little forceful. I'm getting forceful because I don't want you to go to hell. And there's a lot of people that are headed straight to hell sitting on a church pew. Growing up in a Christian home, hear me now, repentance. Parents, if you've never sit down with your children and taught them, you say, I have a concern for my daughter, preacher. Well, listen, if she has absolutely no desire for spiritual things, if she's just a good little girl and she is not a spiritual little girl, you might not have a reason to be concerned for her. You might not have a reason to be concerned for that young man. They've never had a genuine salvation experience where they were born again from above and God's Spirit moved in their heart and changed their life. You say, preacher, I'm concerned about my daddy. I'm a young man. And my dad doesn't want to come to church. My dad doesn't want to live for Jesus. My dad's life hasn't changed a whole lot. Maybe your dad never has repented. Maybe your dad's got something up here, but he never got it down here. See, somehow repentance, as we're going to see in just a moment, can take something that's up here and put it right in here. Repentance can do that. It can. It can take a thought and make it an action. Repentance can do that. Turn, if you would, and we'll look at just a couple more, okay? Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter number 2. In Acts chapter number 2, I'm talking to you about how this thing got started. We're in a church. The church age got started. Oh, John came and he introduced the head of the church, Jesus, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." That John preached, "Repent ye." Then here come the head of the church himself, Jesus, our wonderful Savior, and he preached, "Repent ye." And then Jesus sent out those disciples, and he sent them out, and they preached, "Repent ye." Then old Peter, who was a disciple to the Jews, who was in chapter number 2 of the book of Acts, he was a disciple to the Jews, so Peter was. Him and Paul had a little falling out about it, but in chapter 2, look at verse number 38. Then Peter said unto them, what? Repent. Repent. See, this is an important word. It's an important action that every man, woman, boy, and girl must take to get into heaven. If it's so important, what do you know about it? Why are we not hearing more preaching on it? Why are we not telling people, if you want to go to heaven, you must repent? Look, if you would, in Acts 17, old Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, Peter was apostle to the Jews. And he said, you know what? If you're a Jew, that doesn't change anything. You still need to repent. Amen? And then Paul, the apostle and to the Gentiles in Acts 17, look, if you would. Look at verse number 30. And the times of this ignorance, Acts 17, verse number 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to what? Repent. You see, this is not just something your preacher sit home this past week and said, you know, I think I'm going to come up with something new. This has been going on for hundreds and thousands of years, where God said, if you want a relationship with me, you must repent. If you want your life to change, you must repent. If you want something that's real and lasting, you must repent. It's not enough just to believe something up here. You must experience it in here. And the only way that can be experienced is through repentance. Now, God's given all the ingredients, as we shall see. But there must be repentance. Now, let's turn back to Matthew, and this is where we'll close it out. I'm just going to give you some good thoughts I hope will be a help to you about this matter of repentance. Now, there's many teachings on repentance, but this, I believe, is one of the best. And so I'm going to use it to try to draw a picture that Jesus drew on the importance of repentance. Perhaps you're sitting here today and you say, "Preacher, I just don't know if I'm saved or not. I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe that he was buried and he rose again the third day. I believe that if I call upon him to come into my life, that he will save me." But it takes more than just an acknowledgement of those things. You see, there must be a wooing, and by that I mean a conviction that stings you in your heart that I have sinned against God. See, I want you to see what happened here when Jesus said, when these disciples said to Jesus, they said, "By what authority did you do these things? Who do you think you are?" Jesus said, "Well, I'll tell you who I think I am. I'm going to tell you a story." You see, Matthew 21, look at verse 28. "But what think ye?" He said, "A certain man had two sons. And he said, he came to the first and said, 'Go, son, go to work today in my vineyard.' And I want you to notice the son's reaction. He answered and said, 'I will not.'" Not going to do it. Now, I believe every person that's sitting here either is right here or has been right here. God has commanded, and we have either in the past said no, or right now God has said you need to, and you have said no. Not going to do it. The Father himself came to you and said, "I want you to do it." I'm not going to do it. And so the scripture says here that he said, "I will not go. I'm not going to go." But notice what happens. He obviously began to think about some things, because notice what it says in verse 29, "but afterward." Would you underline that word? Now, I don't know how long this was. I don't know if it was the same day. I don't know if it's the same week, same month. I don't know how long it was. But obviously, something started taking place in this young man's life. See, this is where conviction comes in. Now, please hear me. When the Father speaks to you and says, "This is what you need to do," and you say, I will not, then God begins to churn in your heart. Oh, listen, I remember in my own life, and some of you that are sitting here today, you could come up here and testify, preacher, I remember when God called me to salvation, I said no, but God did not let me go. Thank God, God won't let you go. Amen. God didn't let me go, preacher. He just kept on churning and working in my heart and telling me, I need you to do this. I need you to come. I need you to be saved. I need you to repent. I need you to be converted. I need you to do this. And sooner or later, sometime, at some point in this young man's life, in verse number 29, but afterward, he went. But before he did, what did he do? Look at it, verse 29. But afterward, he went. But before he did, he repented. He repented. What is repentance? Well, what did this young man do? He said he wasn't, but he did. He changed his mind. You with me? He changed his mind. But he not only changed his mind, repentance is more than just say so. Because I want you to notice what the scripture says here in verse number 30. It says, and he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Oh, my. Repentance is more than just talking about it. See, this is where a lot of people, even as believers, well, I'm sorry, I've sinned. What are you going to do about that? See, because we have such a light view of sin and repentance, there's no change. See, that's what this second son, he said, I'll do it. He's got this right here. A talk. Jesus said, hey, many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, right? But he said, it's he that doeth the will of my Father. See, you've got to put some action to those words. That's what the first one did, isn't it? Look at what it says in verse 29. He said, I will not. But afterward, he repented and said, I will. That's not what the scripture says. The scripture didn't say he just said he would. The scripture said he went. He done it. He put action to it. Hey, can you look at this preacher? Some of you didn't know me before Jesus saved me. But there are some who knew me before Jesus saved me, and they can look at me and say, hey, that man repented. Why? It shows up in his actions. I look at some of you and I can tell that person repented. Why? It shows up in their actions. They're not just talking about it. Are you a Christian? Yes. 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 But never, never, never doing anything to validate what they're saying. Something bad wrong there. I'd be real concerned. And parents, on this Children's Emphasis Sunday, we need to teach our children that the gateway to heaven, that going to heaven is not just about saying you're saved, it's living the saved life. Receiving through repentance, saying, God, I'm wrong, I've changed my mind. But notice what else he did in verse number 29. He didn't just change his mind, he changed his action. He said, I'm not going to work. Isn't that what he was asked to do? But he went. What is inferred here? He went to work. Yes, he went to work. Oh, here we go, preacher. You're not one of them salvation by works. No, I'm salvation that works. Oh, preacher, please don't tell me you're one of those salvation by works. Oh, I'm not going to tell you that. I'm salvation by grace all the way. But after you repent and you get saved by grace, you are his workmanship in Christ Jesus, created into good works. What are you doing for Jesus? What are you doing for God? I can't think of anything, preacher. You need to repent. Listen to me now. You need to repent. Because the only way you can get saved is to repent. So what is repentance? It's a change of our mind. I'm not going to do what God said. Now, after repentance, I am going to do what God said. Right? I'm not going to work. Now, after repentance, I am going to work. I'm not going to go. Now, after repentance, I am going to go. You see the difference that repentance makes?
Repentance makes all the difference. By the way, repentance will follow you to the grave or the rapture. Listen carefully to me. It'll follow you to the grave or the rapture. You say, well, I repented 15 years ago, preacher. Well, if that's the last time you repented, you're not doing something right. Amen. Christians need to repent too. We could take this, and I know he's talking to Israel, but we could take this. He's talking to his sons, and he's the father, right? Yeah, just like Luke 15. I mean, could be lost, could be saved. So Christians need to repent too. Let me give you this, and I'm going to be through. I want you to write these things down, all right? What is repentance? Number one, it's admitting you're wrong. I'm wrong. Now, you're here today. I want you to be concerned about your life. Whether you're 16 or 60, whether you're a male or a female, whether you're, listen, married or single, I want you to listen to me carefully. There has to come a time in everybody's life that we say, I'm wrong. Now, you don't have to tell other people. You don't have to tell other people. You just in your heart, you need to say, God, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. There's just something not right about my life, and I know it. I'm wrong. See, that's where it begins. You'll never repent as long as you're trying to justify your wrong. Now, listen to me. Please hear me. As long as you're trying to say, well, so-and-so does it. Well, the preacher does it. Well, the preacher's family does it. Well, the deacon does it. Mama does it. Daddy does it. Hey, as long as you're trying to justify it, you'll never repent. You'll never repent as long as you're trying to justify your actions. You have to say, I'm wrong. I'm not wrong because the preacher said I'm wrong. I'm not wrong because the Sunday school teacher said I'm wrong. I'm wrong because God said I'm wrong. Yeah. Now, see, you're ready. You've taken the first step. That's called acknowledgement. Acknowledgement. It's so important. I cannot tell you how important it is to acknowledge that you have wronged God, you have sinned, you have done wrong. Some people just don't like to admit it. They just don't like to admit it. And they will not. They will not. They are forever trying to justify their own deeds. Well, I'm just a teenager, and that's just what teenagers do. You have no, listen, being a teenager is no excuse to sin. Somehow we've made these young people believe that there's a teenager for the a Holy Ghost for the teenager and a Holy Ghost for the married couple and a Holy Ghost for the elderly people. Hey, the same Holy Ghost that lives in me, if you're saved, lives in you. The same Holy Ghost that tells me how to live will tell you how to live if he lives in you. Amen. Amen. Quit making excuses for your children. Amen. Tell them to man up, woman up. If you're saved, live like it. Repent. Repent. It's important. You'll never have peace in your life until you repent. John called for repentance. Jesus called for repentance. The disciple called for repentance. Peter called for repentance. Paul called for repentance. And today your preacher is saying, repent. Repent. It's important. He said here, not only do you admit you're wrong, but you tell God. Notice in verse number 29, he said, I will not. But afterward, he repented and went. He went to the Father and said, you know what? I'm wrong. You need to go to God and say, God, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. I've justified this long enough. I've tried to say everybody's doing it, and well, there's really no harm in it. It's my business. God, I've tried all that stuff, and I'm wrong. And I'm sorry I've sinned against you. See, that's repentance. That's repentance. Coming before God and just dealing honestly and openly with the situations of our lives. You know, the old flesh doesn't like repentance, does it? It doesn't. Oh, I can't tell you how important it is. Then thirdly, realize that God has an arrangement set up. All right? And this is where we'll finalize it right here. What's God's arrangement? Listen carefully now. You know what God could have said here? God could have said, I tell you what I want you to do. You want to go to heaven? Anybody in here that does not want to go to heaven, raise your hand. We all want to go to heaven. Listen to me carefully. You say, well, I tell you, that repentance stuff, preacher, that's hard. Listen, Can I tell you what God could have done? God's God. He can do anything he wants to do. God could have said, I tell you what I want you to do. I don't want you to repent. Only. I want you to repent and undo every wrong you've ever done. It's pretty tough. What do you think back there, Brother Davey? That's tough, brother. Amen. How about it, Pete? Huh? I tell you right now, I could never pay off that debt. If God said, I want you to undo every wrong you've ever done, I'd still be working. And you, listen, you could find me 1,000 years from now if I had the strength, I'd still be trying to undo them. But I'm glad God didn't make it that way. Amen. See, God came up with a way that was reasonable. Don't you think because God tells you to repent, he's unreasonable. That's not unreasonable. Amen. God said, come and let us reason together. You repent and I'll save. That sounds like a good situation to me. Come and let us reason together. Humble yourself. Bow yourself. Bow your knee to me and tell me that I am God and you are wrong and that I am right and I will save you. Amen. Amen. I am so glad that God made it that way. Amen. So glad. I'm not going to bow my knee, preacher. You're not going to get saved either. You're not now. You'll bow your knee in heaven as a lost person, but you, if you don't bow your knee here. So, number one, I'm glad that God said it's repentance alone. If you'll repent, I'll save. Number two, he could have said make full restitution, but he didn't. God could have said, I tell you what I'm going to do. Now listen to me. I'm going to receive you, Pete. I'm going to receive you, Adam. I'm going to receive you, Brandon. I'm going to receive you, Brian. I'm going to receive you. But now you can't be my son. And you messed up. How could I have you as my son? Tell you what I'm going to do, though. I'll receive you as a slave. You're not going to go to hell, but I'll receive you as a slave. God didn't do that. He stayed a son. Even after he said no, he stayed a son. Amen. God said, I'm going to take you in as a son. Isn't that wonderful? Do you realize what you have as you sit here this morning? Every good thing that I possess, God gave to me. I've got so much good going on in my life, I can't name it all. Amen. Do you know what I speak to you about this morning? God has been so good to me, I can't write it all down. I can't even tell about it all. Why? Because God said, you repent, and I have an inheritance for you that is uncorruptible, undefiled. I've got some great things for you, son. I'm glad I cashed in on that many years ago. But I had to repent. I didn't just come smiling and chomping gum and saying, well, I guess I'll do this church thing for a little while. It's what mom wants. I guess I'll go to church. I guess I'll tote a Bible. That's what dad wants. No. God convicted me in my heart. And I repented and bowed down and said, God, I'm sorry. I've sinned against you. God, if you could do anything with this old wreck of a life, if you could do anything with me, God, I give myself to you. I repented. God made all the difference in my life when I did that. All the difference. All the difference. Look, if you would, at a final word here. I want you to underline this word, would you? Verse 29, he answered and said, I will not, but, and here's our word, afterward. Afterward. What if the first time God came to you, the first time God came to me and said, I want you to go work in my vineyard, and I said, I will not. He said, oh, okay. Bing. That's it. You don't get another chance. Oh, well, God has to. No, wait a minute. Now, you better think who you're talking to. God doesn't have to do anything. God doesn't owe you another chance. Amen. I'd say there's probably few, if any, people in here today that did not answer like this if God came calling you and said, I will not. Aren't you glad for the afterward? God gave you another opportunity. Maybe today there's someone sitting here and this is your afterward. You have flat up, face to face, said, I will not. God has come to you and said, you need to come now and be saved. You need to come and get in. You need to come. I've got a work for you. I have a purpose for your life. You need to come. And you said, I will not. And God said, this is your afterword, right here. I want to give you an opportunity to rethink that, right here. Aren't you glad God gives us an opportunity to rethink some things? Well, I tell you, we're stubborn. We're hard-headed. What about it? Is this your afterword? God going to give you an opportunity? Is he? Are you going to seize it? Are you? I hope that you will. Somebody will. Somebody will. All the same, listen, the same sun that melts the snow hardens the clay. Somebody sitting there, I'm not going to do what that. I'm too cool to do that. Yeah, I know. You're so cool. Listen to me. This is serious business. Your soul is at stake. God has a purpose for your life. Don't blow it. I don't know how many afterwards God has for you with your name on it. I don't know. I don't know how many afterwards has got your name on it. But I know there will come a time where there will be no more afterwards. You can only tell God no for so long. All right? Let's stand. Repentance. So, preacher, if I'm going to repent, what do I have to do? Well, you have to change your mind about some things. You have to change your heart. You have to change your actions. You have to change your direction. This man said, I will not go. And he didn't go where the Father told him to go. But then later he went. Where'd he go? Where the Father told him to go. He changed his direction. Right? Repentance. Have you ever repented? Has there ever been a time in your life that God just came to you and said, hey, you are wrong. You have sinned. And your sin has condemned you. And you said, oh my, I'm in trouble. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And I'm asking you to forgive me. I'm sorry I've sinned against you, Lord. And I don't want to sin against you. I want to live for you. I'm sorry. Have you ever done that? Now, if you've never repented, you're not saved. So I prayed a prayer one time. Well, did you repent? Did you repent? You've got to be sorry for your sin. You have to repent. We don't believe in this ABC, repeat after me now. That's not being saved. That's not biblical salvation. That's why a lot of people go through life with doubts and discouragement and just up and down and in and out because there's no genuine salvation experience in their heart and life. I just want you to be saved and go to heaven. But more than I want it, God wants it for your life. He does. I wonder if you want it. Let's bow our heads together.